I'm Dan Nakasa with the Honolulu Advertiser, and we're sitting with Thelma Kam, Director of Cultural Services at Sheraton Hotels and Resorts. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. Aloha kakahiaka.
Aloha. Tell me your full name, though. You're known as Auntie Kehaulani.
Auntie Kehaulani, that's right.
What is
Kehaulani is my middle name that was given to me by my godfather. And I can, would you be like to know what it means?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, I was born very early in the morning. And when my godfather visited my mom at the old Kapiolani Hospital site, as he looked out the window, he saw those little dewdrops on the grass. And he looked back at me, and I guess the vision came to him that I looked like a dewdrop from heaven. Thus, I was named Kehaulani, which means heavenly dew.
Nice. Is that your complete name, Thelma Kehaulani Kam?
I have a Christian name also, Francis.
Aha.
Another middle name.
And how old are you?
I let you guess that.
Okay.
Do I have to say how old
I am? Well, we let some people slide.
Okay.
If they give me a hard enough time. And your title is Director of Cultural Services?
Yes.
How long has that position been around, and how long have you had that?
I've actually had this position going on 3 years, and it actually began when I took it over, when I took the position.
What is the job description, or what is your understanding of what that means?
My understanding of the job is to thread the culture of our islands throughout our organization, with our associates, with our guests, with our vendors, with all who come into our beautiful land here.
At all Sheraton properties?
At all the Sheraton properties in Waikiki.
In Waikiki.
I also do assist at times on the outer islands, the Big Island and Maui, but my main focus are the four hotels here in Waikiki.
Okay.
And those are the Royal Hawaiian, the Moana Surfrider, the Princess Kaiolani, and the Sheraton Waikiki hotels.
And then how many on the neighbor islands?
There's the Sheraton Maui, and there's the Sheraton Kauai.
Okay. And then, culture does not mean exclusively Hawaiian culture.
No, it doesn't. Culture to me means what you are, what you bring to us, where your ancestry. Here in Hawaii, we have a conglomerate of cultures. In my neighborhood, I have a Chinese neighbor on my right. On my left, I have a Japanese neighbor. In the front of me, I have an Indian neighbor. Down the road, I have a Vietnamese neighbor. So it's all of these cultures that really make what our islands are today, which I really feel is why our guests come to visit us, to experience this feeling of cultures coming together, working together, living together, playing together, praying together.
And your name suggests that you have other ethnic...
Yes, I do. I guess you could call me chop suey or maybe a poi dog.
Wait, what are your ethnicities?
Well, my dad is Portuguese-German, and my mother is Chinese, Hawaiian, English, Irish. She's also German, and I think she has a little bit of Indian in her.
And Kam is your...
Kam is my husband's name. It's my married name. My husband is pure Chinese.
Ah, interesting. Okay. We'll get back to the nuts and bolts of your job and how you do all that in a minute.
Okay.
One last question. Sorry about that, though. How did the position come to be Director of Cultural Services?
Well, we have an initiative that we've had around the Sheraton Hotels in Waikiki for many years, from the mid-80s, and it is called In Celebration of Aloha. And this initiative has been threaded throughout our organization all these years, basically through the training department. However, as the years have, moved to where we are today, our leaders in our organization, Keith Vieira, Mr. Ernest Nishizaki, and our directors, all recognize that it is so important that this celebration of the aloha needs to be in the forefront of all that we do in our organization, be it our associates assisting a guest, be it our managers, working with a vendor, be it our the managers of our properties, you know, working with other hotels in the industry. So it is so important that this spirit is alive in the forefront in everyone's hearts as we do business in our community. Because this is Aloha is the essence of who we are. Aloha is a spirit of it's that breath of life that is within each and every one of us that is shared with the person that we are talking to or communicating with. And what they see is our face, the front of us, but what they feel is the essence of your very self. So for us to share that, as we share that, what we are really doing is sharing the aloha. Mm-hmm.
Is there an equivalent job, Director of Cultural Services, at Sheraton Properties outside of Hawaii? Or is it?
No. Not that I know of.
There's no Director of Cultural Affairs for Sheraton San Francisco? Or
no, there's not.
Tell me about your background. Where were you born?
I was born here in Honolulu. Where? I grew up in Lani. I was born in Kapi'olani Hospital. Uh-huh. And I think I was born in Kapi'olani. I grew up in Lanikai on
really?
The windward side. So I went from one beach on the windward side to mm-hmm. a beach on the east side. But it was the best years of my life was, you know, as a little girl, I remember walking to school every day. I went to St. Anthony's School mm-hmm. in, you know, in Kailua, and my brothers. I have three brothers. And we would walk to school every day. We would walk home from school every day. And the path we would follow would be the beach. So it would take maybe 2 or 3 hours for us to get home every day, and at times my mom would send out the police looking for us because it was kind of coming to nightfall and getting close to dinner time, and we still aren't home. But she knew exactly where to find us along the point area as we walked over the point mm-hmm. around the point in Lanikai, or you know, just talking story with friends on the beach or picking seashells. And you know, I always think back on those memories, those fond memories of that as a child.
Nice. So where did you go to high school?
St. Francis Convent School in Manoa. So I actually boarded there. The reason for that was because back in history, transportation to town, we didn't have as great a bus system as we do today. So I did attempt taking the bus home, but it would take me like 3 hours to get home, 3 hours to come into school. So my parents felt that it might behoove me to just better board at the school. So that's how I became a boarder.
How long did you board?
I boarded for 4 years.
Was that hard?
No, I actually loved it because it gave me a chance to I think become what I am today, as far as being very independent, being able to work with or being able to live alongside different cultures. Because at that boarding school, it was a boarding school for girls. St. Francis, you know, is a school for girls. And children from outer islands joined us. Children from the mainland came to board there. Also from Pacific Islands. So I really got to form some very precious relationships. And they taught me the cultures and taught me how to work and live together with them. So that was another part of my life that I look back on with fond memories in my boarding school years at that convent school. And of course, I was able to be away from mom and dad, so you know I could be independent. But yet, of course, along the structure of the nuns, we have to follow all their rules.
Mm-hmm.
But in a boarding school, you know, there's times that you find ways to work around things, and you know, as kids, you just have a lot of fun. You know, at what you do, and just, you know, take away all the learning and all the relationships that you build.
Any college?
I went to the University of Hawaii, uh-huh. and I actually graduated in social work. My background is nursing, however.
Okay, well, I
graduated, I have a degree in social work.
B.S.?
B.A. A B.S. I went 4 years. That's a B. B.S.?
Well, it B.A. could have been a B.A., but
I think it's a B.A.
B.A.
Yeah, in social work.
Okay, what's your nursing
My background is nursing because I actually majored in nursing mm-hmm. at the University of Hawaii.
At Manoa.
At Manoa. But my minor was sociology or social work. But what happened was, to support myself through college, I worked, my first job was actually as a test tube cleaner at the university for one of the professors, who was also a doctor at the Queen's Hospital. But that didn't quite meet my rent of $50 a month back then. So I took a job at the Kahala Hilton as a waitress. And that's where I really discovered what the travel industry was all about and how much fun it is and how all the skills and everything that I learned as a child growing up, living alongside different cultures, just helped me blossom at the Kahala Hilton. Because I worked in all the different restaurants. I could be a bar waitress. The next day I was a waitress in the Hala Terrace, where I was a dinner waitress. The next night I could have been in the Maili, which was the gals there at that time were the Japanese kimonos. Then another day I could be a banquet waitress. So the experience of my youth helped me just naturally enjoy this service industry, because it was all about taking care of people, as was nursing, but yet it's a different angle. You know, taking care of people in the travel industry, it's an environment where people are coming here to just relax, just enjoy themselves, right. Just have a good time. In the medical industry, it's more of, you know, there is an issue, you got to take care of it. It's a lot more, you know, it's not as fun. I'm sure it's fun today, but it was not as fun back then as it was in the industry that
but
was.
When did you get your nursing experience, nursing training?
In college, because that was my major. So when I went to the university, my first 2 years, where you get through all of your social work, your psychology classes, right. PE, all that kind of thing, and then I went into the nursing program, where I interned at hospitals.
I see. Did you actually get an LPN or an RN?
I didn't go that far because I wanted to. I had 6 months more to go, and I wanted to get out because I wanted to get married. And so I thought, I can just graduate with my I can graduate right now in social work, and so I did because I just wanted to get married and start raising a family.
I see.
So I didn't go. I did not get my degree.
Gotcha.
But I am a nurse.
And then your breakthrough job, and this could be the Kahala, it could be anything where you learn something about people, management, leadership.
I think my breakthrough job was when I began as a mail and information clerk at the Sheraton Waikiki Hotel in 1971. The day that the hotel opened is when I began work at that hotel.
I'm sorry, what year?
1971.
So you were one of the first employees?
I was.
Yep. Do you remember the day?
June 4th.
Mail and information.
Mail as M-A-I-L and information clerk. So my duty...
What kind of job is it? Yeah.
...was to... Okay, back then, we had little cubicles at the front desk where we had a big rack where we had little key cubicles.
Oh.
So I would receive the hard keys from the guests. I would, put that into the... take inventory, make sure we had enough keys per room so the guests check in, we don't run out of keys. And then I also received mail and put it into the little mail slots both for the guests and for the managers.
And messages.
Messages, I would work all that. So I was that for about a year, and then I got a promotion to be a desk clerk. So that's when I simply moved a few feet, and then I learned how to check in guests and check out guests.
Why was that your breakthrough job, though, the working at the Sheraton?
That was my breakthrough job, I feel, because I was, I think there at that desk, first of all, the leaders that I had at that time really instilled in me that here I am, a mail and information clerk. I have a degree, but I'm a mail and information clerk. And I would often talk to them about, well, I don't really think I should be here, but I came here because I didn't want to be a waitress for my entire life. I recognized that. Although it was good money back then, because the banquets were huge at the Kahala, and my paycheck was quite fat. But I also realized that I needed to settle down, and I needed to go in a direction that, I could follow, a career path that that may suit me. And all I knew was that I really enjoyed working with people and doing things for people. Now, as a waitress, yes, I can do that. But in a waitress position, I wasn't focused on the future in food and beverage. I was more focused on, I saw assistant managers, I saw sales managers, and I thought, oh, maybe I can do that.
Right.
So that created me that interest to take the job at the Sheraton, and it's a brand new hotel coming up, the biggest hotel in Waikiki at the time. So I thought, wow, you know, what an honor to work there. And now I get to learn a clerical step where I can maybe I can learn to the front end of how to check in. Maybe they'll give me that chance, which they did. So they gave me that break to learn the skills of a check-in clerk. At that point, I was then able to connect with guests, because when a guest checks into the hotel, that first, that first experience that the guest has, that first memory they have is they pass through the bellman. The bellman takes out their luggage, but that first real conversation is going to be with that mm-hmm. desk clerk. So when in this position, I was able to really get to understand that, gosh, you know, these people, these guests, they are very precious. They are very special because they are here to really to enjoy what we have in our islands, to enjoy our culture, at the same time to share a little bit of themselves. So I was able to create relationships along the way, and to this day, actually, I have many return guests that, you know, when they come back to the property, they will always call me and I'll take them out to dinner.
Really?
And we will, you know, we'll share stories of our families, because their children, when they were checking in, their children were babies. Now their children are like 30 years old and they're having their children. So I am meeting
wow.
the legacy of these families. You know, I'm meeting their future. So I'm meeting grandma and grandpa who I checked in 35 years ago, and along with them in tow, they have their great-great-grandchildren. And then they have their children, their grandchildren.
That's amazing.
And so it's...
And they look you up every time.
They look me up all the time. And they love just to talk story and reminisce about, gosh, you know what? Remember back then when we came? Oh, wait. Some of them have actually really embraced our language and say, what's happening to your city? It doesn't look the same as it did back then. But there's one thing that they always share with me that, you know, you can never find anywhere that never can be taken out of Hawaii, and that is that aloha spirit. You know, the very reason why they're back, and that's because of that relationship, you know, that feeling of ohana that is created every day by every one of our associates to today. And I think this is what makes the difference for us as a state, for us as a community, and for us as a hotel,
mm-hmm.
is that aloha spirit.
So what other positions have you had then? Have you spent the entire time since June 4th, 1971 at the Sheraton?
I've actually worked for Sheraton in Waikiki for 35 years. I just made my 35th anniversary this past June.
Oh, congratulations.
Actually, it would be May, because you know you have to go through your
probation
period. Well, you know, you have to go through training and whatnot, because
right.
before the hotel opened, they had the pre-opening and whatnot. But from a desk clerk, I worked my way up the line, became a supervisor. And in my supervisor role, now I was given more responsibility. The Sheraton Waikiki has over 1,700 rooms. So my main job was to control the rooms of that hotel and to make sure that we had a room for everyone that was checking in each and every night mm-hmm. of the year. And if I sniffed a period where, it looks like we may have a challenge here, then I would work together with the rooms director and with the general manager or the director of the hotel to strategize on, you know, how now are we going to handle the situation. And, you know, things always magically worked out. From that position, I then jumped hotels. The beauty of working for Sheraton Hotels is that you have four properties that you can work in Waikiki. So I was offered a position at the Princess Kailani as assistant front office manager. So there, that was my first jump into a management position. And there I learned the skills of how do you manage people. Because in my position at the front desk at the Sheraton, I managed things, I managed inventory. In a way, I managed relationships, but I wasn't a manager, so I wasn't accountable like how our managers are accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried my best to, you know, to keep things in harmony. you know, to make sure that everything was always bono, everything was always good. But now all of a sudden, I'm in the shoe of a manager.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's my kuleana, my responsibility to ensure that, first of all, my associates are happy, that they are in control, you know, that they are in harmony with one another, so that when they greet that guest, that they have all the tools, they're comfortable with themselves, that they can take care of that guest as they check them in. Because again, they are the face of the hotel. And they are that first, you know, impression that the guests receive. And I've learned one thing. My first manager, my first front desk manager at the Sheraton Waikiki said this first thing to me on the first day of work. He said, "Thelma, I want you to always remember this. The first impression is the last impression." And I kept that as my mantra throughout, you know, my career with Sheraton. In any aspect of the different jobs I've held. Today I'm meeting you. I hope that I gave you a good first impression, because that's going to be the last impression you're going to have of me. After I was assistant front office manager at the Princess Kailani Hotel, and then about 6 months later, I was offered the front office manager position at the Moana Surf Rider. So I I was just floored, honored that they offered me that, because the Moana is the first lady of Waikiki. It had just come out of a major restoration that our owners had, you know, had done for this property, done for our state. And, you know, it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am now sitting in a hotel managing the hotel that actually made what's happening today possible by putting tourism on the map, putting Hawaii on the map. Like, we are here, world. Please come and visit us. That is what the Moana did. So I had that honor of managing there for 4 years. And then the Sheraton Waikiki called me up, and they wanted to know if I would consider coming back to be the reception manager over at the Sheraton Waikiki, which includes now the front office, the guest services area, the telephone department area. So it was a difficult decision for me to make, because I had grown so fond of the Moana just because of what it stands for,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that for my career it would be a good move, because the Sheraton Waikiki, understanding its size, understanding the big conventions come into that hotel, and you know all the opportunities I would have, I did move over to the Sheraton. So I then was there I was there for about 6 years in a management role at the front office area, along as well as managing other departments. And they did add departments along the way to my position, because it only made sense. A reception manager, security is there, bells is there, you know, guest service is there, concierge is there, of course the front office, the cashiers. So all that is really that first experience,
mm-hmm.
that first impression, so why not? Then I had another knock on my door, and now it was an offer to manage the Royal Hawaiian Hotel.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. It's like I couldn't believe what I heard, and I had to say, excuse me, am I hearing, is the question you're asking what I think it is? And I thought, my God, you know, thinking back to where I started, and thinking back to all the leaders, all the managers that I worked with, and how they prepared me, little did I know that every step that I took actually prepared me for that one question, which is, would you consider managing the Royal Hawaiian Hotel? I had to think about it for a few days, understanding the role, understanding the, you know, just what it means, the significance. I mean, the Royal Hawaiian, as the Moana, is an icon in everyone's mind. You say Hawaii, Royal Hawaiian is right next to that word. So I did speak to a few of my mentors then. Of course, I spoke to my husband and consulted with him, because I also realized that the role I would take, the role that I needed to take, would be one of always being there for your associates. And that means time. You know, you have to put time. Yet the investment of time, I knew, would be very critical. And in order to do that, I did need the blessing of my family. Because if I didn't have that, I would not be able to do that job. And I did get the blessing from my husband, and I thank him for that, because along the way, actually, he gave me the opportunity to move forward, and not once did he ever stop me or say, no, what about me, what about us. He would put the cards on the table, I would we would weigh it together, but the final decision would be mine. And he helped me as I took each step. So I took the position in managing the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. And I think...
How many years was that between when you first got hired at Sheraton?
I took that job in 2001. So how long is that? That was 71?
30 years.
That was 30 years. You're right. So I think if you would think of a second breakthrough job, it would be managing the Royal.
Yeah.
Because the Royal Hawaiian is a hotel so special, so... I mean, there's such a spirit there. There's such a culture, such a history that is so deeply woven into that... Are we okay? Into that hotel.
Hear everybody moaning out there? You can keep speaking.
Okay. That,
I'm going to get really hot in here. That's okay. I'm sorry. Generators are on, huh?
Okay. Yay.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So, so anyway, in this role, I was really able to gain a real deep insight and even a deeper appreciation of really who we are here in Hawaii, because the Royal Hawaiian is just steeped in culture. When you think of the Royal, and as I studied not just the building, mm-hmm. but the history of the land that hotel sits on.
Right.
I mean, that is where our royalty came to play. That's where they came to cleanse themselves. They came on their vacations. I mean, they came to swim on the waters of Waikiki because the waters were smoothing, they were cleansing, they were healing. And then when I reflected upon that, it's like, my God, you know, here at the Royal and at all of our hotels, this is what we do. We give our guests that experience of a soothing stay, you know, a stay to cleanse all their woes off of their, you know, out of their soul, and to just, you know, just enjoy. And when they leave us, they are refreshed, they're renewed to continue on their jobs. And our royalty did that. And before that, the chiefs would come down there and they would enjoy the land that we sit on in Waikiki. So taking this job prepared me for the job that I have today, because a few years after, as I was managing the Royal, this job was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, my God, what a perfect segue for me to move into, because I have gotten to just have such a deep, not that I've never had a love for Hawaii, but a deeper understanding of really who we are, and now an opportunity for me to not just share it or to really keep that light alive at the Royal, but to really bring that, you know, make that torch just, you know, shine in all the properties here in Waikiki. And also, if, you know, an outer island has called me also to assist as they've done their cultural programs.
And when did you get the job of
in 2003, towards the end of 2003.
The director of cultural affairs.
Correct.
Sorry, we just need to get some air. Rarely a dull moment around here. And then you have a staff. Tell me about your job.
Actually, I don't have
You're a one man band.
I'm a one man band, but what I'd like to share is that my staff is 4,000 associates that we have throughout our properties,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because they are the key to the aloha in our hotels for our islands. So I look at myself simply as an instrument, a vehicle,
mm-hmm,
whereby I take the knowledge that I have, whatever information that I receive, that I learn, I put it in my big bus, and I deliver it to the properties, and then from there the associates take it and they run with it. But the one beauty about our hotels here in Waikiki is that the associates have this in their hearts already. So as far as if it's difficult, not at all. Because our associates are hungry for information. They're hungry for the knowledge of our culture, of our history, of our land. So when you take this to them, they're even more so able to appreciate and share that with their fellow associates, with their family, and with our
right.
guests.
Well, I'm looking for some specific examples of, do you training? Do you pass out brochures? Can you give me the kind
sure.
of the gamut of,
okay.
of how you do?
Well, I can tell you the different arms that my job has.
Please.
Okay. Okay, my title is Director of Cultural Services. Therefore, you would imagine that, okay, her job would be to share the culture, the history of the islands. That's one arm.
Mm-hmm.
But that arm is in every other arm. That it's like the heart, and that pumps blood into all the other arms that I step into. Another arm is training. I assist our training department in rolling out all the initiatives that Starwood, which is our mother company, is our managing company. Sheraton is a brand under Starwood that we roll out to our associates. So I'm very much a part of the training arm.
Is that Bernie?
That's Bernie Vasquez.
You know Bernie. I met him the other day at a leadership seminar.
Yes.
Nice guy.
He's wonderful. So what happens here is that in every training that we do, we thread in the Hawaiian values.
So while they're talking about, you know, procedures and systems, yes. you'll do a component of cultural.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You also train the existing managers. You also train new hires.
Right.
You train leadership. You do leadership
yeah.
training.
Yeah, I assist Bernie with doing leadership training for mm-hmm. the managers,
mm-hmm.
where there's, like for example, I do new hire orientation. So in new hire orientation, they go through, they learn about what they need to do, how to punch in, how to
mm-hmm.
swipe in. They learn about, you know, the procedures. They're given the Sheraton handbook. They learn about safety and security, all very important.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, I have a culture piece where I take them out for 2 hours. And first I give them a classroom lecture, very short. And then we go out into the properties. We touch, we feel, we hear, we see the culture of our hotels, of our island. So that's a new hire. For the associates,
that's probably the highlight of their day rather than filling out time cards.
And yeah, it sure is.
Punches,
For our associates, we have ongoing training. In that training, there's no separate Hawaiian piece, although I do have Hawaiian culture pieces that are out there that they are welcome to come to. Like I'll do the history of the royals, I'll do the geology of the islands. So they're welcome to come to those separate classes. But in the training sessions, I weave in the cultural values. Like, we all have a responsibility. We have a kuleana. What does that mean? And then I'll talk about the concept of ahupua'a, where we are a community. We all have our role in this community,
mm-hmm.
our responsibility. So that's the training leg. I also run all the fundraising for the hotels. So there are two main fundraising events that we support completely, 1,000%, and that is the charity walk. A sponsor is Hawaii Hotel Association, and also Aloha United Way, which we are actually walking into in September is the rollout of Aloha United Way. But I do set the goals for those fundraisers, run them, and I'm proud to say that every year the goal that we set forth to our associates is met and some. And again, it's because of that aloha that our associates have, that understanding of the culture, the understanding, the importance of us being involved in the community. I also am in charge of the HEP program, which is the Hotel Education Partnership, where I go out to schools. And that's, you could probably say that's probably my most favorite part of my job, because when I go out to the high schools, the grade schools or the junior highs, I see the hunger in our young leaders for knowledge. They want to know about what is it like out, you know, in the work environment. You know, what do I need to do to be there? And sometimes I'll see in their eyes, I'll see that doubt. Oh, I can never be that job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at my background. Because they look at, you know, they may look at mom and dad and think, but that's not how, you know, that's not my family. That's not how I've grown. I can never be a manager. I don't even know how to be a manager. So what I just enjoy is taking those students, giving them an opportunity to come into our hotels and give them job shadow opportunities where they stand at a bell desk. They stand at a front desk. They stand at a guest service desk. And then they interact. But of course, prior to that, I will help them through the interactions that must occur, right? You know, we don't want it to be a transaction with our guests where it's simply room key. Aloha, Dan. It's so good to see you again today. Your room number is, and here's your key. You know, that is an interaction with our guests. So I will go ahead and you know, explain to them what the job entails, the expectations of the job, the procedures, and then set them loose. They will never be alone. They'll always will be with another manager or another associate in that department. And I'm also proud that our associates, who are moms and dads themselves, many of them, or some of them are, some have just grad from college and they're, you know, they're in our organization. Many of them are young graduates. That they appreciate these young children that are there, these young leaders, because they were there once.
Right.
So they take them under their wing and they teach them all they can. So when they come out of this job shadow experience, like for example, right now I am doing a job shadow experience with four Farrington girls. They are doing a 40-hour internship this summer. And they are almost done. When they first came to me, I put them through the interview process with our employment manager. They were freaking out when I told them they need to apply for this job. They need to interview. They're like, we've never been through an interview. I went through, you know, how you would interview. You know, you come to, you, if you have a resume, bring a little resume with you. I've never worked before. That's okay too. You can say that you're a student. That's part of a resume. And then you interview and put your best foot forward. They came out of the interview. Did I do good? Of course. They all got hired to be interns. They're just about done. They have two more days with their internship. I just stopped by to see them yesterday. These were young ladies that have just blossomed into flowers. Or, you know, think of a hibiscus in the morning when it is closed, and as the morning progresses, you see it just open, and it just becomes a beautiful, you know, beautiful flower, full of color, full of vibrance. That's what these girls are today. And one of the young ladies said, I never thought that I could even talk to a person I don't know, because I've never done that. I always stay in my own little school and I talk to just my friends, and that's, you know, that's the extent of it. But I'm confident now that I can go up to anybody and say hello and ask them how they are and feel comfortable with myself. That, you know what, it's all good. So my role in working with the schools is to create that energy, create that create that passion, create that knowledge in our students that they can be whatever they want to be. All they have to do is to know that they are good. Everything is good about them. So take all that they're learning in school. It's important that they stay in school and that they really study hard and strive to be the best they can be, because they'll take those skills in school and they'll bring it right into the work environment and they will excel in the work environment. And I see that time and again. So that is another art. Another leg of my job.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Yes. I just need to tell you, we're almost an hour into this interview. We're not even through the first set of questions yet. So
stop it.
No. I'm just...
You need to go?
No. Well, I do in a little bit. But okay. We need to...
Fast, quicken it up.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
All right, then.
So what are the other ones?
Okay. Also,
I'm not even through the first set of six questions here. That's the problem.
Okay. I'm also in charge of the employee consults, where I drive activities into the properties to really make our associates feel like, well, you know, this is a great place to come to work.
Right.
Because, you know, look at our unemployment rate right now. It's so low that we want to retain every employee that we've hired. You know, we hired them. They were good people. We want to keep them here. What a better way to do it than to get them involved in, okay, employee, what do you want here? You know, what fun things can we do so that, you know, you will want to come to work every day and just, you know, continue to share the Aloha Spirit. I think that's it.
And tell me a little bit about...
I also work with guests.
Yes.
I do cultural activities for guests. And at the Royal Hawaiian right now, we are actually creating we actually have created a culture program where we have cultural specialists come in and, you know, share their knowledge. So I also assist the hotels in driving the culture programs for the guests and the properties.
And tell me a little bit about, because this is the top of our column is Leadership Corner. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your leadership philosophy, your teaching philosophy. You've touched on it a little bit about, mm-hmm. you know, sharing aloha and how you should treat guests and each other. But can you articulate that a little clearer about?
Sure.
You've been a manager. You are a manager. You've had a lot of mentors and managers. What are some of the sort of those lessons that stick with you? And you want to be like this rather than like that.
Well, I think that if you were to say, okay, you have only one word to choose to describe a leader,
mm-hmm.
I would say that a leader must always have respect. Have respect for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
Have respect for their associate. Have respect for that guest.
Mm-hmm.
A good leader will be respectful. A good leader will be honest. A good leader will always set the vision for their employees so that they will know exactly where you are going,
mm-hmm.
so they can prepare themselves. A good leader will always treat whoever it is that they are working with as a guest.
Mm.
I think if everyone in this world would just keep that as their mantra, you are my guest. I think a lot of issues that
you're talking about employees.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
And is that if communication is one part and actions and deeds are another,
mm-hmm.
where does the balance fall? Is it words? Is it actions? Is one more important than the other?
I think it's actions, because I think actions speaks louder than words.
Yeah.
Actions tells volumes. I don't have to say a word to someone, and they are already making a decision. They're already, you know, building what they think of me.
Right.
So I think actions are body language. What we do, a good leader has to walk the talk.
Yeah.
A good leader cannot get up there and, you know, preach a program and then turn away and shut that door on it.
Yeah. Or talk about aloha and then treat somebody
and
else.
And then treat
like
somebody
they're...
else like they're nothing.
Interesting. Okay. Actually, I lied. We're actually on question number 7 here.
Really?
No, okay. I'm interrupting
okay.
you. This is how these go. We kind of have a set of questions and then we deviate. A little known fact about you that we hope even some of your close friends wouldn't know. This is a hidden little secret that we can bring in the newspaper.
Pretty open person.
Yeah, pretty open. You know, it's like there's really no hidden facts. But I think a little known fact might be that I think if someone was to look for me, if say you had to find me on this island, we gotta find her. There's no phones, there's no way of, you know, communication. You gotta go and look for me. You find me in a library.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is because I just love to learn about people, about cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I love to learn about what other people have done in their lives so that I can take a little bit about what, you know, made them successful that I can add into my repertoire so I can be a better person.
Mm-hmm. What would you apt to be reading in that library?
Well, first of all...
Biographies or...?
Well, first, I love to go to the history.
Mm-hmm.
I love history. And history of any country I will go to. So if I'm walking, I'll go into the history section. Now, when I go to our libraries, of course, the first section I go to is the Hawaiiana section. And I'll go to the history section, the Hawaiiana section. So once I get, you know, full of that, I'll go and I'll cruise into the other sections, the Chinese section, the Japanese section, and I'll see how their cultures mesh or, you know, can be possibly married with ours, and mm-hmm. there are many similarities sure. in cultures. And then from there, I like to go into development, into how I can develop myself. So I go into self-development,
I see.
You know, areas of the library. The second place you can find me, if I'm not in a library, you'll find me in a bookstore. Every weekend I drag my husband, but he loves books too. We go to the library, we end up in the bookstores with my grandchildren.
Nice. Mentor.
Mm-hmm. I have two mentors in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My first mentor would be my dad.
His name?
His name is Joseph. And he actually is...
What's his last name?
Correa. Correa.
Is he still with us?
He's passed away. He was actually killed in a hit-and-run accident.
Oh.
But he's my mentor because I remember as a little girl coming home from school, I'd walk into the house. There's someone there that I don't know.
Mm.
And they're sitting down. And they're eating a bowl of Simon, or they're eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I'll walk around the house and I'll find my dad.
By themselves.
They're sitting there by themselves. And my dad would be, he could be out in the yard, he could be, you know, anywhere. He's out in his truck. My dad was a plumber by trade. And I'll say, "Dad, who's that?" He says, "Oh, his name is John," for example. And actually, I met him today in Kailua. He was actually standing on the street corner and, you know, he didn't have a place to go. He was hungry. So I brought him home to give him a bite to eat. I said, "Okay, Dad, great." And I'll go and talk story with him. So my dad was a self-made businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He had a, I think he had a second grade education. And then after that, he came from a family of 11. So he had to help his parents support the family.
Mm-hmm.
So he learned a trade from his dad, who was a plumber, coming from a plumber family. And from there, he just advanced on to being, I think he was the first plumber in Kailua, maybe he was the second, but he was either the first or the second plumber in Kailua. And he became a very successful plumber. And he became a successful plumber out of, you know, the School of Hard Knocks. He learned, he actually stepped out of, you know, he stepped out of whatever boxes he was put in, and he, you know, he moved forward to develop himself. He had no one behind him saying, "Oh, go to," you know, he wanted to go to school, but there's no money to send him to school. So he learned to trade, and he learned from the best. He learned from his father, and his father from my great-grandfather. And he took these skills, and then he talked to other people, you know, in that industry, and he became a better plumber for that. And then he opened his own company, and then he taught men that actually have their own plumbing companies today. So he was a very shrewd, very good businessman. I mean, you know, back in the 60s, for him to give me a private school education, I know it was difficult, because I would hear my mom and dad talking in the bedroom saying, you know, "How can we afford her to send her back another year?"
Yeah.
Because, it was a couple thousand dollars to send me to a private school, as well as my brothers. My brothers also were going into private schools. But he would always say, "Don't worry, I'll find a way," because my mother was a homemaker. She was that fire that was lit at home all the time, so she was always there for us. She was a stabilizing factor in our family. Dad was a breadwinner. But along the way, what Dad instilled in us was to talk to people, to talk story with people, just, you know, respect one another, understand that everyone is put on this earth for a purpose,
mm-hmm.
and there's good in everyone. Don't let what you see, you know, give you that opinion that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that person, you know, put them to the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad would always pick up these people along the way and help them. And then they would go off. And some of these people, at that point, a couple years later, would come back, and they're dressed in business suits.
Mm-hmm.
Really? "Is your dad home?" "No, he's not." "I don't think you remember me, but a few years ago, your dad took me under his wing, and I would come home for a hot pot of soup. And you would walk in from school and you would say, 'Who is that person?' But I just came to thank your father for believing in me, because he gave so many people that he touched." I would say he was like King Midas, where everything that he touched turned to gold. And when you can touch someone's spirit, and that spirit can be at a point when you touch them, at a very low point in their life, and bring that spirit up and turn it into gold, to me, that is what we are here for on this earth. We're here to make that difference in each other's lives, just to make this a better place to live. So that's why I say my dad is, you know, my mentor from the very day I was born. My second mentor is my manager now. Her name is Nona Tamanaha.
How do you spell that?
She, N-O-N-A, and then T-A-M-A-N-A-H-A.
What's her title?
She's the Area Director of Human Resources. She, I say that she's my mentor because she's, first of all, she's given me the, she's believed in me, number one. She's believed in me that I can do this job. Mm-hmm. Because I'm coming from being a hotel manager at a hotel to being a cultural, director of cultural services for four properties. But she believed in me that I could do it. So she gave me that, she lit that light in me that, you know what, have courage, you know, just take this light now and, you know, make it shine even brighter because you have it in you. All you have to do now is to you've already invested in it. Now let's put more money in your bank account and watch it grow. Also, she is the epitome of, I want to say the aloha, because she is at all times respectful, at all times gracious, at all times caring. The first question that she will ask you when she sees you is not, oh, is that report ready yet? And that report could be overdue. The first question she'll always say is, hi, how are you doing? Everything going well? So that sets the pace right there. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And right away, oh, I feel so guilty. Because, oh my gosh, I know I'm late. But she never once puts me in a position where I feel guilty or bad about something. She always puts me in a position where I know that I need to get there. She makes me always feel good about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And not only with me, but she does this with every associate that she touches. Now, she's the Area Director of Human Resources, so this means that she touches over 4,000 associates in our organization and makes a difference in their lives.
All right, a major challenge, and this could be in your personal life or in your career or in your job.
You know, I don't like that word challenge because I don't ever look at something as a challenge. I always look at whatever comes to me as an opportunity. As an opportunity for me to develop, to grow, as an opportunity for me to make a difference in someone, mm-hmm. in someone else's life, an opportunity for me to help someone else grow. So that challenge is not in my vocabulary. I don't know what that means.
I like that. I like that philosophy. Hobbies, other than bookstores and libraries.
Okay, well, I have 5 grandchildren. So I love to go holo holo. I love to take them out. They actually have helped me to remain young because they love to go to the beach, they love to go to museums, they love to just draw, they love to act, they love to put themselves into, you know, little situations where, you know, they create storytelling, and I get right down and dirty with them. So you could say that, you know, my hobby really is enjoying my grandchildren and having fun with them and sharing with them a lot, in fact, of our culture, teaching them our language, mm-hmm. teaching them the values. Because, mm-hmm. you know, children, they're children. But when you sit down and speak to them in a value concept, they understand. When you talk about, okay, girls, we have to kokua. We have to help one another. What does that mean? So I enjoy doing that with them, and my hope is that it will carry through in mm-hmm. their lives and help them be leaders, our future leaders, which I know they will be.
Book recently read?
Okay. I have to write it down.
Okay. That's fine. I always have to look them up anyway.
I know.
Because people get the brothers wrong.
The Story Factor?
The Story Factor.
The Story Factor by Annette Simmons.
What's that about?
This is really all about Vala'au sitting down, talking story, bringing things alive. When you sit down and you want to get something across. Say we have a meeting. And there are some meetings, granted, that, you know, are very straightforward in the beginning. But once the business part is over, then you sit down and you talk story. And what it is you communication becomes alive. It becomes real. Because you're sharing experiences. And experience, tell me now, how can we better do this? This doesn't seem to be quite working. Does anybody have, you know, a story you'd like to share? Well, actually, you know, yeah, I think I do. Someone will raise their hand. You know, this is what I experienced. And they'll tell a story. So it becomes alive to all of us, like, wow, that really happened.
The anecdote sticks in your rather than the kind of the issue.
Right.
So would you recommend that more businesses or more meetings incorporate that?
I would.
Even though it tends to be a little more time consuming?
Yes.
And tell me what the value would be then. How these are meant as sort of, you know, instructional
sure,
things
okay.
so that other leaders can get insight into techniques.
I think the biggest value is that
I'm getting at it. So how would you convince sort of a Western trained manager that this technique that might take a little more mm-hmm. time will actually pay off?
Well, I think that you'll open up the doors to so many opportunities that may be left on the table in not giving someone an opportunity to share an experience mm-hmm. in a storytelling format. Also, as a manager, it'll give you an opportunity to get to know that person. Because when they're telling you the story, they're bringing you to a personal experience. Mm-hmm. So in a personal experience, you learn about that person mm-hmm. because they take you to where they were. They, you know, they give you, you know, their thoughts, how they reasoned through it, why it was important to them. So you can better understand what they're made of. So this will help you have a really powerful organization, because I firmly believe that you need to understand your associate, or you need to understand that person across the table that you're going to be working with. But before you understand them, you have to know who they are. And through storytelling, you find out who that person is, because you can ask questions when they're telling a story. Oh, really? Tell me about that. You lived where? You love to pick seashells? You know, why is that? So then they will they'll share the essence of, you know, what makes them tick.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know exactly, oh, now I understand why that person, you know, does the job how he does it. So it'll better help you, you know, put people in right positions, and it'll better help you formulate how you're going to move forward in your organization with the staff you have.
Right.
Because every person we hired for a reason. They were good. But they are good in... there are not too many generalists around. Most people are good in one thing. But when we hire people, a lot of times, you know, we see them as a generalist at times, because they're good at everything. But there's something they're really passionate about. So you bring that one passion to the table. Bring your passion, before you know, what do we have? My God, you know, we have, you know, something that we can really, you know, sell and make us to be world class here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say that that is really what we do in our organization with Sheraton.
Any other books?
I have a second book here that I have. What is it here? The Whale Done by Whale, W-A-L-E, by Ken Blanchard. And this book really talks about the importance of building positive relationships.
So you read sort of the Western business
yes.
philosophy gurus, and then but you adapt it to island culture.
To island culture. And I take that and then share it with the managers and leadership training, mm-hmm. with the associates, with our guests,
mm-hmm.
with anybody I meet. It's just very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Because our culture, it's not you can't even look at it as being parallel to the Western. We're one. You know, we are here on this island. We are a blend of cultures. So how can we work together by understanding the Western culture, understanding all the other cultures, blending us together, talking story with one another, and then coming out with this beautiful culture of aloha that we share every day.
I heard, this is an aside,
uh-huh.
Daniel Akaka was talking about, speaking on the Senate floor about the Akaka bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was explaining to the mostly Hali colleagues that Hawaii is not a melting pot. It's a rainbow where all the cultures kind of...
That's right. They all blend in together. So when you talk story, you have that blending. Because you don't have just one story, you have many stories. And from that, all those stories, you are then able to collaborate,
right,
and come up with something beautiful.
Tell me about the Outstanding Manager of the Year Award from the American Hotel and Lodging Association.
God bless you. Well, this award is such an honor for me. I actually received the Napoepa'ahana Manager of the Year Award for the state of Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Back in January. And this was through the Hawaii Hotel and Lodging Association. And a few months later, they are actually, they are part of the mother company, which is the American Hotel mm-hmm. Association. So they submitted my award up into American Hotel and Motel, and from that I was chosen to be the Manager of the Year for large properties.
And why do you think you won? What were you told?
Well, what I think is that what's really important for all of us to understand is that it's not good enough to come into work and just do your job. What is important is that when you come into work, you bring with you your skills, your knowledge, you bring with you your cultures, you know, from home, you share it, and you take that and you share it, you spread it out, you share it with all entities that are in our beautiful state. You share it in the community, you share it with those people of need. You know, you work with those organizations that need help, that actually will take care of us and do take care of maybe some of our family members today, such as the Alzheimer's Association, American Cancer, American Heart, PACT. You know, all of those different associations are out there for us. So it's not good enough to just come to work and go home. You have to get involved in the community. You have to get involved in education. You know, get involved in, if you have children going to school, get onto the boards that they're, you know, get onto the PTA boards. Join your neighborhood boards. You know, make a difference. And I think maybe that's why I received the award, because I love to share what I know, and I love to help others reach their potential from the little knowledge that I have. And hopefully they will marry what I have to their knowledge, and they'll be even better than I am, so that they can move forward and reach their potential in all areas of our community.
Terrific. Anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, I just want to say that
yes.
That I feel that every organization should have aloha at the top of mind of every associate that works for them. And when they say that word, to say it with such sincerity that it would be like giving a lei to someone. Because when you give a lei to someone, you are actually, you know, giving them something that's forever. Mm-hmm. You know, a lei never ends, a lei is forever. So you're not only sharing with them your fragrance. Most leis have a beautiful fragrance about them. You're not only showing them your fragrance, which is the essence of yourself, but you're telling that person that, you know, I really care for you, and I want you to know that I am with you. You are in my hearts forever when you do give a lei. But well, it's the aloha that's so important.
That's a wonderful sentiment.
Yeah.
For the last 2 years, I've been writing about the unemployment market. Mm-hmm. Lowest unemployment in the country for mm-hmm. 2 years until recently, and it's difficult for businesses just to find a person, let alone somebody who's going to embrace all these qualities. About how do you would you recommend managers instill the sense of when you come to work, just do your job, when you mm-hmm. you know, when you greet a customer, you share the aloha. How do you do that in this real world market conditions?
Well, I think the first thing you do is in the hiring process. Mm-hmm. If you're in the hospitality industry, you know, right up front, what are we? You know, we are a service industry. So you would hire the right person for that position,
right.
You know, for the positions you have. Because if you try to put a peg into a round hole, it's just not going to work.
Right.
And it's not no fault of that person. That person should not have been hired in the first place. They should have been, you know, in another industry.
Right.
So that's the first thing. It's in the hiring process. Once you have that, you have already that aloha instilled, then you thread it through your training programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that every organization, you know, stresses training because every company has some form of training
right.
in their organization. So to have that aloha, have the values thread into every step of the way in the training programs.
And that comes from leadership?
That comes from the managers.
Okay. Terrific.
Thank you very much.